Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. Stephen Bachman has been named one of Huffington Post's 18 under 18 list of the most amazing young people of the year in 2012, which included people like Malala Yousafzai and Gabby Douglas. And it's with good reason. He's accomplished an incredible amount in his 19 years. Not only did he write his first book, The Peculiar, at 16, but he also wrote a symphony to accompany it and attends the Zurich Conservatory in Switzerland. I spoke with Stefan about the novel and how he grabs the reader with its very first line, "Feathers fell from the sky."
Well, the first line actually changed a lot. It wasn't the original first line. I think I had a completely different image of the book when I started it. And that was it wasn't even at the beginning of the book. There's a scene towards the end where Mr. Jellyby and Bartholomew, who are the main characters, are in this huge goblin market, and it's really exotic and strange and interesting. And I think that was my first image. And I guess the first sentence kind of evolved over a lot of revisions.
You're 19 now, and you started writing this at 16. This just seems like such a big endeavor for a 16-year-old.
Oh, thank you. I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of teenagers write, and it's just a matter of practice. I guess, I mean, everyone who writes stories has to start at some point, and it's just a matter of practice and time until they're published. So I think, I mean, why not start young, you know? I mean, it would be the same if I had started at 30. I would have had to write the same amount of stories and books and practice the same amount of time. So I just started young because I really, really wanted to write stories.
You say it takes a lot of practice, but at the same time, not everybody can be a storyteller like this. It is such an imaginative tale, and the characters are so vivid.
I don't know about storytelling. Everybody has something that they're really, really good at, and it might take a while to figure out what it is. Unfortunately, some people never find what it is. But everyone has something, and once they find it, it is really just a matter of practice. And with me, it was writing. And yeah, I just practiced until I thought I could do it.
So you mentioned Bartholomew and Jellyby, and this story brings us to Victorian England, and the world has definitely changed, and it starts with those feathers falling from the sky, and a door is ripped open.
Yeah, it's kind of an alternate history. So everything at that point kind of changes drastically. And England is completely, like, it's now the English and the fairies. And the English are kind of really straight-laced and serious. And the fairies are really wild. And I thought that was a really interesting contrast, I guess, to see what would happen if they're, like, forced together to try to make a society. And so it's kind of steampunk versus magic and English versus fairies. And yeah, everything after that gets really, really different than the actual history books.
It does, but that's the beauty of it. I mean, you see so much of what has happened throughout history, but the fairies, I mean, they are really the lowest of the classes now, and they're forcing them to work in the factories. I mean, the air in London, which is where the majority of the book is taking place, it's so hard for them to breathe, and they're making sure that the fairies don't have powers, so they're ringing bells every 5 minutes.
Yeah. Well, I think that part is probably pretty close to what would actually happen. I mean, people don't necessarily like new things, and they don't like strange and different things, and I think if these crazy fairies, like, invaded England, that would probably be what happened. They would try to squash them, and they do. They do a lot of, they make, like, the fairies are susceptible to, like, iron and bells and all sorts of things, so that basically the English, like, make tons of bells, and they put iron in everything, and there's steampunk stuff and everything, so that the fairies are, like, kept in their place, because otherwise there would be an imbalance of power, probably.
And that brings us to the changelings, or the peculiars, and they are the ones that are half human, half fairy, and they are not accepted in either grouping. And they say poor Bartholomew and his sister Hattie, their mother keeps telling them, if you are seen, you'll be killed.
I was interested for this book to try to make, like, the individuals the good guys and not the big groups on either side, because Bartholomew is kind of stuck in the middle between the fairies and the humans. And in a way, Mr. Jellyby is a part of the human faction at first, but to be a hero and to kind of do what he has to do, he has to go out of that And I think that's good. I mean, I don't think huge groups can really work for people. I think people have to do their own thing. And I think that's what I kind of wanted to show, that to be a hero and to, like, you know, save the world and all that good stuff, you kind of have to step out of the box and step out of line.
And that's the hardest part, is to step out of that box. I mean, we see Mr. Jellybee's transition and kind of being a little bit spineless, kind of like his name. He just wants to go to people's tea rooms and have that upper crust.
Yeah, he's lazy.
Yeah, pretty much.
But towards the end, he figures out what he has to do and that he's the one who has to do it because no one else is going to. And he does, like, drastically step out of the box. And, I mean, you can do that in real life in, like, smaller ways. And I just think it's cool when people don't care about these huge groups who tell them what to do and when they just do their own thing. I think that would be cool if kids did that too, you know. Like, be peculiar. That's the motto.
Absolutely. And then there's the Privy Council, which has, it's all the upper crust people, but somebody has been named Mr. Licorice, and he is the only fey on the council. So you think that he would be pro-fey rights, and you would hope that he would have that middle ground and a better opinion of the changelings.
Yeah, well, he is the villain. And that's not really a spoiler at all. I mean, it's clear from the first moment you meet him that he's a total villain. And he's kind of in the middle. His motivation basically is to get home, get back to his world, and not be stuck under these English people. So he's not like a one-note villain, but he's also pretty selfish. And that's also one of, like, the secondary themes in the book, I guess, is selfishness and self-interest, like whether you work just for yourself or for the greater good. And that shows itself in several characters and then in the main conflict at the end. And he's definitely selfish. He's not really working for the fairies. He's not really trying to help people. He has his own tricks up his sleeves.
At the same time, though, you did say he wants to get home, and so do all the other fairies go back to the old country, and they're stuck here. So, I mean, we have that sadness for them, thinking, you poor souls, you are stuck in this horrible, horrible place and essentially enslaved.
Well, I'm glad you thought that, because I didn't really want the fairies to be bad, and I didn't really want... Well, I guess, okay, I more what I wanted was that both the humans and the fairies are kind of, you know, good, bad, not really great, and not really horrible, and that the focus was on, you know, the people in the middle. But I'm glad you didn't think the fairies were, like, totally evil, because I don't think they are. I think they're just different. And so different from the humans that they might seem evil, but they're not really.
The way that you write them as well, you're very descriptive in your writing. With Bartholomew's little sister, Hetty, her little branches for hair and the color of their skin. And it's just being able to learn more about that world really captures the reader.
Cool. Well, yeah, it was really fun to write. It was really interesting to just come up with those ideas. And I'm working on the second book right now, which actually partially takes place in the old country in the fairy world. And that's been really fun because it's a really crazy place. And you can, like, take all the things from the first book and, like, multiply it by whatever, like 10. And that's what the fairy world is like. So that's been really fun to write.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear, because we get a mini glimpse of it while Mr. Jellybee and Bartholomew are on their journey.
It's definitely a small glimpse. Yeah, there's a lot more to it.
We've been talking about Bartholomew and that there are the changelings. And you were right when you said that Bartholomew is a little bit different, because it's like when in the 1920s in the modern era, when people could pass for being white when they were part black. So he can kind of pass for being a human child or a fey child.
Exactly. But if anyone figures out what's actually going on, or if they look too carefully or whatever, then you're done for.
And unfortunately, he has been marked, because what is happening in the novel is changelings are disappearing, and then unfortunately their outsides are being found in the river.
Yeah, it's quite gruesome. They are being found floating in the rivers of England, and they're all covered in red markings, and it's really gross, but it makes the stakes higher, you know?
It does. And there's that struggle that we've seen of whether or not people care, because even the Privy Council says, well, they're just changelings.
Yeah, I think that's also, like, not that far off. I mean, it's weird how people care about some things and they don't care about other things that are just as horrible, you know? And that's kind of just the way it is. It's weird, but I think that's also pretty realistic.
people unfortunately turn a blind eye when they just hear too much of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you were writing a musical piece to go along with the series?
I wrote a few pieces that the publisher used on their book website. I got to write sort of orchestral pieces that fit a few of the scenes, like where Mr. Jellyby is chasing the clockwork bird on the cover, and the creepy waltz for Jack Box and Melusine. I wrote, I think, 3 or 4 pieces, and then I got to write the trailer music. So that was really fun. I'm really glad my publisher let me do that. That was cool.
Well, you are a man of all trades.
No, just 2.
Well, this is an amazing novel, and I can't wait for the second one. The name of it is The Peculiar. Stefan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was really fun.
Again, the name of Stefan Bachman's novel is The Peculiar. It is published by HarperCollins. And of course, all the music featured during the interview was composed by Stefan himself. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.